Jonathan Rand's the producer of this program, and he likes to sing.
Yeah.
It's time for Rand to
acapella the news.
All right, I'm assuming that we have more Canes related.
You know, it's funny today. We had lots more options than we thought we did.
Oh, okay.
If the Canes were not playing, if they did not, you know, win game one, I could have sung about Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher.
Oh, jeez. That is drama, man.
I had to sing about Ian Cole because, I'll just say it's a cold world, guys.
Oh, jeez.
I think it's going to be a hell of a night. A hell of a night. So we can score whenever we like. Hey, it took me all game to find some inspiration. You know the first two periods were just an aberration. Auntie in the pipes, he deserved our admiration. Keeping us in the mix, giving us that motivation. Asking if and we were worried, we ain't worried at all. Only down one, that deficit was small. See my man, see Bass, how about that Jarvey pass? We saw until we hear that goal horn call. Get to OT, man, what can I contribute? I shoot, my timing is acute. Sorry, Igor, we just needed one more. And now in this series, we're one closer to four. Matters how we started, but we finished just fine. One more till we're in a different state of mind. Sorry, Rangers fans, what was I supposed to do? But hey, thanks for coming, y'all. This bud's for you. Cold world, cold light, cold-blooded. I take one shot, now I storm surge-blooded.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I feel like J. Cole would be proud of that.
Oh, man.
Need to tag him.
I think I'm going to.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, you're going to have to tag him on that one. You got to tag him on that one. Oh, I don't know. Photoshop Ian Cole's head onto on the J. Cole.
Is it weird that I had an easier time personally doing NWA than J. Cole's hard.
J. Cole is hard, yes. J. Cole is hard.
Man, that was good, though.
Thank you.
Well done, Rand.
Let's having a week, buddy. You're having a week.
Woo! I'm in playoff mode.
Let's answer some Hey Joe questions.
Playoff Rand.
That's right. All righty, boys. First up, and Hey Joe from JC on Twitter. Hey Joe, with the show now being video streamed, why not add a background sidekick? A Kevin, Andy, Guillermo, maybe a bald man that just sits in the corner eating lasagna if he promises to do it close.
At some point, Gold has to go home. Okay? Like, you have to let Gold go home at some point. He can't just be sitting here all day, and when his show's over at 3 o'clock, then he sits in the corner of the studio eating lasagna. Or, to make Jillio mad, fermented onions in that salad. That I know you don't. Yeah, that still bothers you, right?
Or shrimp.
Yeah.
The shrimp was cold.
Don't care, man. You still brought shrimp into the studio. It's foul move, man. Foul move.
Yeah, I need a food arbiter on that one.
So what the listener is asking for is some sort of late night talk show random character that's just kind of hanging out in the background. I could bring my Chuck Amato cutout into the studio, and he could just lurk the entire time. That would be fun, right?
I would like our own Guillermo. That would be nice.
Next up.
Next up from Yancey on Twitter. Hey, Joe, how many Rangers fans last night was a moral victory? Wow, what? How many Rangers? It was just worded very oddly. How many Rangers fans, quote, last night was a moral victory calls will we receive today?
Well, we won't take calls. We won't take calls necessarily.
Also, only from a certain area code because we want to geofence our calls.
This is true. As if we won't get Newark Rangers calls from the 919 area code. I mean, I got one Rangers fan who lives in here that lives in the area that's been in my mentions, but that's neither here nor there. No, I don't think. Look, the impression that I had last night walking out of PNC Arena with all the fans pouring out, the Rangers fans were quiet. Rangers fans were quiet. I mean,
they were stunned. The game was over.
We have the scene of the woman who was arrested by the Raleigh Police Department. I mean, that went viral. Got it. But that happened before over. That happened in between the third period and the start of overtime when that had occurred. Because I was sitting there waiting to get a last second overtime beer before taking some, you know, taking some fan reaction. Regardless, the Rangers fans that were walking out, to your point, Julio, probably more stunned than anything else. When Boston fans were coming out, it was just, you know, ah, talking crap, you know, that kind of stuff. Rangers fans legitimately like, what the hell happened? I thought this was in the bag.
I also think New York's in a different place than Boston was.
Sure.
New York's a really young team.
Yeah.
So the expectations aren't there for the Rangers to go on like this crazy run. It's a little bit of house money right now that they were able to come back and beat the Penguins the way that they did.
Well, the other thing, too, and I thought this was kind of interesting how you put it, while we were watching the game last night, you're like, it was really easy to hate Boston.
Yeah.
This is, if it's not your opponent, it's actually kind of a likable Rangers team.
Yeah, this is like the Duke basketball switch. You went from Coach K, surly Coach K, to John Shire. Like, how do you dislike John Shire? How do you dislike the Bread Man? What a great name.
How can you dislike the head coach who was unceremoniously fired
at, PNC.
At PNC Arena as part of the Panthers organization?
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with the Rangers head coach
was
fired the night they got beat in a regular season game by the Carolina Hurricanes, and he went home in a taxi. The bus left without him. They fired him.
This wasn't Lane Kiffin being fired on the tarmac. It was, hey, man, cool, you can't fly home with the team.
You find a different way home.
You need to go home a different
you
way.
You ain't coming home with
Gerard
us.
Gallant. Yeah.
So Gallant is the head coach of the New York Rangers, and he's back in the
building.
He's
done a great job this year.
He has done a great job. But
again,
it is
a young team. But they're, like I said, even Zibanejad, you're looking at him and you're like, okay. There was someone being booed early in the game, Joe, and I was sitting here going, who is the New York player that the Ranger that the Canes fans don't like? It was the Rangers fans booing Tony DeAngelo. Like, I was legitimately confused because I'm like, New York doesn't even have an unlikable player at this point.
It's ironic that both the Boston Bruins fans were booing Tony DeAngelo and yelling stuff at him, and the Rangers fans are doing the same thing. That would be ironic.
Weird.
Next up.
Speaking of that lady who got thrown out last night, from Joel. From Joel on Twitter. Hey, Joe, what's the bigger Barney Fife hillbilly move? Geofencing? Sneaking a cowbell into an arena? Being outed for contraband cowbell by your team's social media account? Or shoving a police officer while wearing an NYPD hat?
Yeah. Blue Lives Matter, right? So here's the thing that I don't know. If you missed this on social media in the last 24 hours, there was a Rangers fan in Section 113 who was highlighted by the New York Rangers social media accounts. They took a video of her clanging this cowbell, super hyped up. There was a scene, she gets escorted out, and I happened to be in the concourse during the in-between, ahead of overtime, the intermission ahead of overtime, and I hear a ruckus behind me with a cowbell. I'm like, who's got a cowbell? And it was the saddest thing. Like, I don't know if the video that went viral of her getting escorted out does it any justice. Whereas she's kind of like fighting RPD, the cowbell every so often would make a sad, like, clang, clang, clang. You can't do this to me! Clang, 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 clang. I was the one that was being assaulted. Clang, 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 clang. It was sad, man. It was sad.
So I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
She
walked past you.
I know. I had no idea. But she was in cuffs by the time she got to me.
Okay.
And I'm sitting here thinking, and she's probably in her 50s.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here, or maybe she's late 40s, like us. But she's walking by, and I'm thinking to myself, this is not like someone who got drunk and is like fighting over a man or something, her boyfriend in, you know, wherever section. This is someone who did something, because you're not walking out of here.
She shoved a cop.
You're not walking out of here in cuffs with two cops, not arena security, two cops
right.
walking her out in cuffs.
Yes.
And so I'm like, then I saw Luke Tkach, News Observer, had tweeted, the drunk, angry Rangers fan from Section 113, which is right where we were, has been escorted from the building. And then you followed with the beer, and you were like, what in the world just happened with that woman? And I'm like, I was going to ask you because she's in cuffs.
So I've asked around, and this is something that we have not really been used to, thanks to a variety of reasons. You know, 2019, everybody was just happy to be here.
Yeah.
And then obviously we had the pandemic bubble year. And then even with the Canes returning to the playoffs, things were more subdued because of the protocols to get in the building. You got to remember, they were bringing butts back in seats, but it wasn't like this.
No.
So there's been a lot more tailgating. There's been a lot more fun and frivolity. When there's a lot more fun and frivolity, there's a lot more incidents, if you will. And I've been I talked to some people in security, and it's the parking lot that has been the bigger problem, not inside the building. Inside the building, for the most part, has been fine outside of last night's incidents. It's the parking lots where things can get a little unruly. So just be chill, guys. It's sports. Ain't that big of a deal. Next up.
Oh, no, Joe.
Last up from Rob on Twitter. Hey, Joe, bigger narcissist, Nick Saban or Jimbo? Hashtag.
It means more.
All right. I feel like this needs some background. We all know that name, image, and likeness has very rich football coaches in their feelings. It's just not fair anymore as I cash my $9 million a year job check. I mean, how much is Jimbo Fisher making guaranteed? $10 million a year guaranteed?
It's ridiculous.
Texas A&M?
Yeah.
So, Nick Saban was at a business event. Local business leaders. And during this conversation, he expressed concerns with the lack of enforcement or rules around name, image, and likeness, which has given college athletes the opportunity to monetize their what they do, okay? And while the NCAA guidelines prohibit schools from using money to lure recruits, Saban told these business leaders that pay-for-play rules are unenforceable, and he insinuated that schools such as Texas A&M are taking advantage. So here's Nick Saban, because there's audio of this, the Alabama head coach explaining that, you know what? Texas A&M is the number one recruiting class because they bought the players. Here's Saban.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
So that's Nick Saban talking to Alabama business leaders. Jimbo Fisher.
But he's working on his pronouns there. We didn't buy one player. Are you? Nick, all these years, man. I'm not saying Nick was out there with the SMU envelope and handing out the cash.
Right.
But you really think all of those five-star players went there because you rode on the car with them and gave them a little Debbie's, or you took them out on the lake and you whipped them around in an inflatable tire? Come on, man.
So Jimbo Fisher, I don't know if this was a scheduled press conference or an impromptu
emergency. No, this was an emergency podcast that he called.
All right, so he calls an emergency podcast, and Fisher says this about Saban.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. And they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And
now,
it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old.
That's Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M coach.
He clearly does not know what the word parity means.
No.
Okay.
No. But also, he says, talk to anybody who's worked with him. Well, Jimbo Fisher has. He was on that LSU staff back in, 2003, 2004, I think it was.
There's a reason there's the staff churn with Nick Saban that there is. He's impossible to work with.
Yes.
But
he's
also insanely successful.
Well, this is where I think the story is getting twisted. The way that this story is being presented is that Nick Saban is accusing Jimbo Fisher of cheating. He's not. Nowhere in his comments does he accuse Jimbo Fisher of cheating. Now, before you tweet at me, before you send me an email, well, Nick Saban said he's buying players. Semantics. You can.
Yeah, it's legal now.
Right. Which gets to a separate issue I want you to put a pin in right now because I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
So when he says he's buying players, that's not an accusation of cheating. That's just what's going on right now. Nick Saban is being upfront. Look, man, the way this is going right now, they were able to get every single one of those players paid. You want to get into the semantics of buying players, but that's essentially what he's saying. And it's also coming through in the form of name, image, and likeness collectives. So when Nick Saban says, we didn't do that, we did things the right way, what he's talking about is Alabama is following the rules as which they are, how they stand now within name, image, and likeness. Putting the players in... I know you're making a face, but hear me out.
Bryce Young didn't play a snap before last year and made a bunch of money because he was Alabama's quarterback.
But that's fine.
Oh.
That's them. It's like the same thing with Duke going to basketball players and say, you get with my friends, I get with your friends, and we can be friends. That's kind of how it is. That's what Alabama's doing with name, image, and likeness. What Saban is talking about here, and it's important context, who he's talking to. He's talking to local Alabama businessmen, and he's telling local Alabama businessmen, Texas A&M was the number one recruiting class in the country. We're number two. Don't be mad at me. I did what we could do. It's unsustainable going forward if you don't change. Texas A&M's got NIL collectives, like NC State's got Pack of Wolves. Mm-hmm. Texas A&M's got NIL collectives. That's Nick telling him, telling these local business leaders, hey, dummies. You want to compete still? You need to do this too. Because there's one consistency with Nick Saban. He and Mike Krzyzewski are very, very similar in that they're always evolving. They're seeing the landscape. They evolve, they adapt, and then they beat you at it. Oh, John Calipari wants to win one and done? Well, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take John Calipari's vibe, and I'm going to win with one and dones. And I'm going to make John Calipari's life miserable because he hasn't been able to win since. Okay? You can go all the way back to Nick Saban complaining about up-tempo offenses ruining college football. He made his big stink. I don't like this. Not going to change, Nick. Fine. I'll change and beat your brains with it. Because what does Alabama do now?
Oh, up-tempo, no huddle. All
they evolved.
Yeah.
So this is Nick Saban basically telling everybody in college football, Jimbo Fisher specifically, hey, this is pretty Wild West right now. We can do something about it, which they won't, or I'm going to beat your brains the way I always have with all the other things that I do it with. Jimbo, what has Jimbo Fisher done exactly? He talks about he's a narcissist, he's this, he's that. Jimbo Fisher's won one national title and then basically scorched every bridge on his way out at Florida State. Nick Saban has won every freaking place he's ever been. So... I got no time for Jimbo Fisher going up on an emergency podcast edition of We Are So Insulted. And making matters worse is Ross Bjork, the AD at Texas A&M, saying, I'm going to talk to the SEC about sportsmanship. Get out. Get out. Soft. But soft.
That also might speak to something else, though, that last point.
What's that?
Greg Sankey, you got to keep your... Keep your guys in check here now.
But for what? It's all legal.
Well,
everything is legal in New Jersey. Everything legal in the SEC now.
It is legal. But it's like a family that fights. We can fight.
Yeah.
You want to go out and let. You don't need to air all of that out the way that they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Plus,
the ACC.
To your point about Saban, though, that's the king.
Yes.
Like,
don't come at him.
But you're also going to let a jabroni come at the king? The league is what I'm getting at.
Yes.
You know, that's where the leadership behind the scenes, you think about it. Mike's live. That's not happening.
Well, and then
Greg Sankey, a little bit, and don't forget now they're going to 16 teams.
You think
Texas is going to hold their peace?
No, absolutely not.
You think Oklahoma's going to just sit over in the corner like a wallflower?
And this is why
it's not how it's going to work.
And this is why it just means more. And I'll wrap this point on this because this topic has me fired up because I think it's ridiculous that there's a bunch of man babies complaining about, oh, well, name, image, and likeness. You know what's really going on here? It is hysterical that the rules are so different and you're still getting insulted by the fact that somebody's telling the world how you did it. It's all legal now. There are no rules. And Deion Sanders still trying to act like, we didn't pay for a player. Dude, it doesn't matter. So why are you still trying to act like you're, oh no, we would never do such a thing. We do things the right way. There is no way. That's the thing. There's no way. So why are you trying to act like what you're doing is, you know, the sanctity of the sport? There are no rules. And it's so, I guess it's this adherence to, well, it's like what we talk about, we complain about with Jim Phillips and other presidents and ADs like Bubba Cunningham at North Carolina, where they're trying to act as though the collegiate model is this thing they want to hold on to. Bro, that's out the window. So embrace it rather than trying to act like we always do things the right way. No, I wanted Jimbo Fisher to go out there and say, hell freaking yes, we're kicking their ass with name, image, and likeness. We got collectives, and they're scared that we can do this, and they're not. That's what Jimbo Fisher should have said.
I would like to know for how long. That's my interesting part.
Well, that's what gets back to my point about Nick Saban.
If you're going to pay a bunch of money to players, as we saw at SMU 4 decades ago, you better produce or you get stopped being paid, you know. That's how it unraveled at SMU.
Anyway,